Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Galatians 2:19 through 21. Verse 20 is super familiar to all of us, but to kind of understand what he says here, it's important to see the verses before it and the verse after it. For through the law, I died to the law, that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Now, when Paul talks about the law, what is he referring to? He's referring to man's best effort, man's sincere effort to live a life that's pleasing to God, to be godly by keeping all the rules, doing all the things you're supposed to do. But the interesting thing he says in verse 19, he says, through the law, I died to the law. Then he goes on and says, I have been crucified with Christ. Through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. You see, the law says that the wages of sin is death. So we go to the cross in the person of Christ, and our sins are paid for. But in that process of our sins being paid for in the person of Christ, Christ dying as us, we of course died. And we're raised up with him that he might live his life through us. But it was because of the law that it was necessary for our crucifixion. But it was accomplished in Jesus' crucifixion because the law required our spiritual death. Okay? He said, so through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. I had to die to the law. I had to die to this whole notion. Though the law and the breaking of the law was the condemnation, my sentence that sentenced me to death. It was through the very death that I died to the law, which was necessary for me to live to God. I had to die to this whole idea that the burden's on me to try to live a godly life by my sincere and honest best effort. It takes so many forms. We memorize all kind of principles. We memorize all kind of prayers. We make all kind of confessions. It becomes almost like Christian superstition. But Paul makes it very clear. He said, I had to die to that kind of stuff that I could live to God, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ himself lives in me. And the life which I live by his faith, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And then he goes on and says, I do not nullify the grace of God. I will not deny that's truth, that I can't do this, that I died because the law condemned me and I deserve to die. But thank God I died because I died in Christ so that Christ might live in me. That's the grace. I don't nullify that grace of God, for if righteousness could come through my best effort, then Christ died needlessly. It's amazing to me how many Christians live the Christian life as if it wasn't necessary for Jesus to have died. Jesus didn't just die so he could die for us. He died so we could die in him, so that we would stop living this law nonsense kind of life and instead allow him himself, by his grace, the burden now being on him, to live a righteous life. I mean, again, how many times have you said, I just can't do that? Of course you can't. You never were meant to. You're trying to is living under the law. Yeah, I tried to do that. I tried to love this person. I tried to submit to this authority. I tried to do this, and I just couldn't do it anymore, so I just quit. Good. You needed to quit so that the one who can take over. That's grace. That's why you were crucified with Christ, so that the Christ might do what you can't do, which is live a righteous life before God. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Why? Because it's not necessary. If all this stuff is coming up out of me spontaneously, like a well of water springing up to abundant life, like rivers of water coming out of my innermost being, why do I need law that I'm trying my best to keep the rules when this is the life of Christ coming forth. You don't need those things. You don't need your self-effort to try to figure out right and wrong if this is happening through you, right? It's grace. That's why, and those of you who come on Wednesday nights, he says in verse 14 of chapter 6, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace." So that's the whole point. The whole point of Jesus dying for us isn't primarily, first and foremost, to die for our sins, but that we might die. And not just die to sin, but die to the law, because the power of sin is the law. The harder you try, the harder you fall. Haven't you discovered that? But our crucifixion with Christ was so that we would be thrown onto grace, that all the burden would be thrown onto him. Instead of me trying to not do that thing anymore, or trying to do that right thing by my own sincere religious best effort, I can now operate under grace. "For sin shall not be master over you anymore." Why? Because you're no longer under the reign of the law, but you're under the reign of grace. The burden is all on him. And so what's my part? By grace, through faith. Childlike faith. That with everything that comes towards you, you trust in his grace. For everything that's thrown at you, you trust in his grace, his life, his ability as a gift, free gift. For every temptation that rises up in you, you throw yourself onto his grace. The burden's now on him. Sin shall not be master over you because you're not under the law anymore. It's not about you counting to 10 or trying best or confessing some confession, making some kind of declaration. It's about the burden being on him, and you're simply trusting that. In every relationship, in every responsibility, it's simply trusting in his grace, the burden being on him. That's when the Christian life becomes supernatural. That's when you don't just know about him, you actually know him. The language of being woven into the fabric of his existence isn't just a cool theological thought. It's something that you experientially know. It's as if you are immersed in the cloud of glory and you walk in it. It's not a great idea. It's a great experience, because it's all now, the burden's all on him. Because I died to the law. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to try anymore. I'm called to trust in the one who's able. For even if we struggle with faith, even if we believe not, he abides faithful, because he cannot deny himself. And the truth is, all I'm actually doing when I live by faith, I'm living by his faith, in his own ability, and his own faithfulness, as a free gift for everything I do, one step at a time. Whether it's something rising up in me or something coming at me, it's all, the burden is on him. Righteousness is grace. Holiness is grace. Victory is grace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.